Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go. This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney. So what?
Welcome along to the Melchester Odyssey, part 93. Edging towards that memorable tally of 100 of these fucking things. But we're still going.
Andy, before we get into Roy's antics on the cricket pitch, just before recording this, we recorded our usual Friday episode, which is, I like the freeform jazz podding, where we just get to update people on what's going on, both in our lives and the wider world.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, this went out like last Friday, so there's a big gap between that and...
Yeah,
and this going out.
So it's completely against all Top Flight Time Machine protocol for me to bring up something that's topical in a Roy Race episode. But if I don't, then it will be lost forever.
More so for one that's going to be going out in 6 days' time, but proceed.
Yeah, and some people who aren't IFS will be listening to this in a year's time.
Exactly.
Nevertheless, what I'm about to tell everyone who's listening is mind-blowing, and therefore... Everything. It's like when war breaks out and they just we interrupt this program, right? This is newsflash stuff, mate.
Right.
Today, which is Thursday the 4th of March 2021, both of us, without fucking knowing or corresponding on this, both got our cars MOT'd.
We did.
Mate, this is, if that's not newsflash stuff, then what the fuck is?
I mean... What are the odds of that happening? Something like
it just makes no fucking sense, mate. This is Sir John Cosmos fucking playing games with us. He's like, fucking hell, this will shit them up. I'm going to make them both get their fucking MOT. Hey, and they could both fucking look at that as well. Because, you know, I don't know, Delaney's had that wing mirror out. Delaney's been going around with his rear indicator, like, faulty for the last 3 fucking months. He's not going to pass. That's the John Cosmos.
When was your MOT due? When is
28th of Feb. So when we had it in on the 28th of Feb, it failed on 2 things.
Oh, right.
But they
needed
to order a couple of parts.
Right.
And they, but do you know, I mean, the gutter for me is that I'm getting a new car because I have it on a sort of contract thing, right? And it's nearly up. So I exchange it for a newer model, right?
Do you
Do
you want to do that? Because I was buy cars. I don't know how that leasing contract thing really works.
Yeah, I got into it a few years ago. And once you're in it, it sort of has a psychological hold over you because you commit to a monthly amount that you're paying, right? And then, you get used to that as an overhead. Mm. Yeah.
That's my car money. Yeah.
That's your car money, right? Mm. You've written it off, right? I do silly sums like, well, think how much I'd be spending on Ubers, which doesn't really make sense in fucking lockdown, right? You don't go anywhere anyway. But at the moment, especially, it's really great because they're not fucking shifting many cars. So all they want to do when your contract's about to expire, they're like, we just want you to we want you to stay with us and not just fuck off and decide like loads of people are because of lockdown. I don't even fucking want a car anymore, right?
Yeah.
But I do want the car.
We will give you the car that baddie has in Greece that's got the knives that come out of the wheels. You're going to have one of them. Same price as what you're paying now. What do you reckon? You've got to decide in 6 seconds, though. Has decide
it got,
now.
Hang on. Has it got flames painted down the side? Well, it hasn't, but we can get... I'll tell you what, I'll get that done for you. I'll chop that in, free. All right, what's you his got name? Yourself a fucking deal there, son.
Craterface. You can have the same car as Craterface in Greece.
And his sexy bird. The one who smells me his bird, but she ends up dancing with Travolta at the prom. You know the one. Yeah. Fucking dynamite she is. Fair enough, she does look about 40, and you wondered to yourself, what the fuck is she doing at high school? But, you know.
Fucking Craterface is in his early 50s, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, but whatever, maybe they were held back for being thick, I don't know.
I'm not an American.
Anyway, do you want your car or don't you?
Decide now.
So anyway, they basically said, look, I said, I could drop it. And they go, well, just get the new car and carry on paying the same monthly amount, as long as your current car's not too fucked.
Yeah.
So I said, all right. But I fucking had to owe my... But so the handover's happening next week. But in the meantime, my MOT fell due and I had to get it done. And it failed. And the faulty indicator light was surprisingly costly.
Oh, fucking hell. Really? How costly? Do you want to see it?
I'd put it this way, right? This is the plastic that goes around the indicator at the rear. On one side, can't remember which side it is, right? So just the red bit of plastic that goes round it. That's it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I fucking probably smashed it reversing someone. When I drive a bit Living Out Loud style.
You live out loud, yeah, yeah.
I was like, bang, fucking broken. So what?
You were.
It's only a bit of plastic.
I'm Sam Delaney. I drive alive. That's what I do.
I drive alive, mate. Bang, see you later. I've got places to go. I'm not hanging around. Right. And the kids are like, Daddy, I heard something break. Good. That's life, kids. Sometimes things do have to break. Shows you're living life properly to the max.
I might give you a little tap as I drove past there. I'm not even sorry. You shouldn't have got on my way.
If you don't like it, don't use the roads.
So you've got it through.
It's fucking anarchy. Anyway, well, I'll let you have it. I feel embarrassed to admit how much this bit of plastic is going to cost. Just have a guess and I'll tell you if you're close or not.
Don't be embarrassed. It's not your fault at all. I'll say 90 quid.
More.
140.
More.
195.
More.
Oh, fuck off. 270.
Less. I can't remember exactly, but it's about 200. Just over 200. And by the way, this wasn't one of those ones with the manufacturer. The manufacturer, I said, listen, mate, I've got this fucking thought. I'm not getting it MOT before I give it back to you. Why can't you get it MOT'd? And he's like, well, you know, it's still yours until we do the deal. And I said, fuck's sake. He goes, it'll sail through anyway. I said, no, wait, because I fucked up the indicator light, didn't I?
I fucking hit someone.
I fucking smashed it. I'm Sam Delaney. Of course, my indicator lights are fucked. How do you think I drive? Like a fucking grandma? Right? I'm West Ham, mate. I drive around. I've got to keep my eye out for fucking Millwall everywhere I go. I ain't got time to fucking do all the niceties of the highway code. Right? So he's like, well, I understand, Mr. Delaney. Listen, yeah, you got one of them rear camera fucking things so I can see out the back, see if Millwall are tailing me when I'm driving a bat. What?
What, like a wind mirror?
One of my mates got something called a Millwall cam, yeah? And he sticks it in his motor and it means that, because they'll creep up on you, won't they? And they all have cars with knives that come out the wheels, so you've got to be double fucking careful, especially if you go south of the river. They're fucking Millwall everywhere with fucking flick knives coming out of their motors. So, anyway, he said to me, listen, he went, do yourself a favour, don't get it done here at the manufacturers. He goes, because they'll sell you like the fucking manufacturer bit of plastic.
$2,000.
He went, just get it done at your local garage, fuck it. Hand the car in to us, we don't care, no one's going to check. So I said, fucking right. So I took it there and they just gave me generic plastic. And it was really? 200 quid. I know it sounds like I've been mugged off, but I had a ring round too. And it was like, mate, you're facing a 200 quid indicator light. And I know that loads of people are going to fucking email and text about this, right?
Oh,
like
God.
Getting Lampard about the amount I've spent. But it is what it is, yeah? It is what it fucking is.
I mean, I think we just need to start muting people. on Twitter for the slightest transgression. I've been muting people increasingly on my Twitter account.
For any communication.
Just anything that displeases me even slightly. Yeah, instant mute. You don't get the speak.
There will be people
again
who start telling me where I went wrong with this transaction.
Yeah, of course.
And the thing is, the transaction's done. And it's such a male thing, that, as well. Do you know what I mean? It's blokes. You hardly ever get a woman who wants to spend the time, because she's got enough to fucking do in her own life. So she is not going to think, I must go onto Twitter or email and tell someone the mistake they have made in their decision-making, right? Mm. Because women generally tend to be fucking adults, yeah?
Yeah.
Right? And there'll be a dozen blokes fucking itching to jump on to some, either the email or Twitter or Patreon or something, to tell me where I went wrong without stopping to think, well, it's done now, I've spent the money, the decision's made, so what good is it going to do you, right? But they want to, even though they don't know you and I don't know, they want to feel like, I'm superior.
Right? I'm important. I've done something here. I've achieved something.
And he will know that the next time he has a decision to make, he will come to me. Well, careful what you wish for, right?
Because you'd be fucking muted, son.
Mate, and careful what you wish for, because if I did come to you, right, in future, and think, oh, he's a good resource, then it'd be a fucking nightmare. You don't want Sam Delaney having your fucking phone number and ringing you up asking you shit all the time. It'll drive around a fucking bend.
It will never stop.
It won't stop. It'll go on for ages. Do you know what I mean? You're better off out of it. Don't get involved with me.
Don't be what I believe they call a reply guy. Do not fucking be a reply guy. There's nothing that's going to create more contempt.
Is that someone on Twitter who sees someone write something and they feel like they have to fucking click reply and comment every time?
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Exactly that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's nothing that will fucking create more contempt towards you than someone like that. Just a tip, you know, we're both media professionals, you and I. I've worked in social media. At the core face of it, right from the beginning, I know what works and what doesn't. Just saying.
I've got a relative who only recently I realised was on Twitter. And it was one of those situations where I saw, maybe I saw that she'd liked a tweet, and I thought, this is a close relative. And I thought, that's weird. All these years. So I looked, I went, fucking hell, she's been on Twitter for years, lurking about. Right? Ooh. Never interacting. Oh. You know, has like 42 followers, but follows quite a lot of people, right? So I thought, this is interesting. She's been looking at all this shit, right?
Yeah.
Following my tweets, whatever. Maybe she has, maybe she hasn't. So I thought, right, what's she been up to in this time? She's probably just one of those people who never logs on. That's what I thought. So I thought, I'll have a little look at this. So I clicked on it, mate. And she followed only celebrities, right?
Right, yeah.
The sort, how to describe what kind of celebrity? Very clear. The sort of celebrities who are rotating sort of guests or presenters or reporters on the one show.
Strong.
All right, so she's just like, if you're that geezer Richard Osmond or whatever his name is, you're like, oh, he's a national treasure. Right, that's that sort of thing. Anyone who's someone who listens to Radio 4 would describe it, someone who's like wet dreams are about Claire Balding. Do you know what I mean? And by the way, I've got no problem with Osmond, Claire Balding or anyone. I'm just trying to reflect what this person's Twitter setup was, right? But, and I haven't got a problem with any, either with the relative, sounds like I'm being snarky, I am, well, either the relative or the celebrity she follows. But here was the thing that fascinated me, was I thought, I had no idea she'd been on Twitter. It turns out she's been on Twitter for 10 years. She follows all these celebrities. And then when I looked at what she tweeted, I thought, she's probably the sort of person who never tweets. Oh, she tweets all right. And this is what she tweets. Every time any of these celebrities, be it Giles Brandreth, right, be it Alan Jones, right, be it Stephen Fry, be it any of these people, right,
he'd do the one shot.
She fucking replies to all of them with a little witty remark.
Oh, my God. As if they're going to fucking read them and pay attention.
It's a full-time thing, from what I can tell, which is strange because she's, she's got a life. She's busy. She's got a job, blah, blah, blah. But fuck me, mate. This goes back years. And it was like suddenly It's like when you read, I don't know if you've ever, you know, there's these books that are always like family. The amount of books you see in Waterstones that say a thrilling family saga, right? Mm. And it's always about some family who've been living alive for years, and suddenly a dark secret is unearthed, yeah. And it turns out that one person in the family had a completely separate double life that you never knew about, until after they're dead. That's what's going on here.
That's what's happening.
All this time, I thought of you as one thing, and now I see that all of these years you've been secretly attempting to communicate with Richard Osmond off of Pointless via Twitter. You've been trying to lure him into some sort of interaction by writing faux witty comments in response to everything he tweets.
Fucking hell.
And I never fucking knew.
But then when these people are corrected and stopped in their tracks and asked to think about what they're doing, whether it's the reply guy or it's someone like that who's replying to everything that celebrities do, they always come back with a thing where they say, I think you'll find that Twitter is actually a public platform. It was designed for interaction and conversation. Fuck off.
Yeah, yeah. But that's
how next level.
Conversation works, though.
Jalapeño.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Prime members. You can listen to this show ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Jalapeño.
I think of it as like when I started at sixth form. When I went to sixth form college to do my A levels, right? There was a common room there, right?
Mm.
And it was It was like a pen in a prison. It was just this fucking huge room, right? And they're basically like, you know, when you're at school for kiddies, there was a playground. This is like that, but it's a room with a roof, right?
And you get to sit down.
Fucking going. When you're not doing a lesson, all fucking pile in there.
And over in the corner, they'll sell you a cup of tea for 10 pence and a topic.
Exactly. And it was also like, and because you're 16, feel free to have fags as well. So you go in, and because it's still the 90s, because it's the early 90s, there's no fucking smoking ban. So go all fucking crowd into this room and smoke your fucking heads off and keep your mouth shut.
Because you're 16, the teachers you think smoking's clever, you thick cunts.
So everyone pines through them, and it was like a scene from a prison film. Because, you know, on the first day when I was 16, you'd walk in and then, like, you know, some of the people in there looked a lot older, and a lot of the people at the college I went to didn't go to that college. It was a place where local young people would come to hang out.
It was like a drop-in centre.
Yeah, it was, like, because there was no security on the
door. You could just walk in.
It was a fucking college.
What happened
was people from that area and the surrounding areas, they'd go to this place. They'd come to our college and they'd just fucking walk in, hang around, because if you think of it, it's a youth club, And usually it's because they had mates who went there and they go, oh, we'll come and hang around in your common room, right?
Yeah.
So it was quite intimidating, and it was always full of smoke, and there was quite a lot of drug taking and drug dealing, which was another reason people went there, right? Yeah. So on my first day, I went in, and like you get in any school or environment, any environment in life, it was quite clearly divided into factions, right? Mm. So you had, just like when you see a prison film, there's a Hispanic gang, isn't there? Then there's the white supremacists, right?
Yeah.
Then there's a black gang, and then there's like maybe, I don't know, maybe there's a, I don't know, like there's different, I've forgotten all the other types of prison gang there are. But in college, you know, in the early 90s, those are the kids over there, they're all into fucking rave, and that lot over there are all into fucking Kurt Cobain, and lot over there are just quite scary and intimidating, and I think they have knives, and those lot over there are like the arty crowd, whatever. What I didn't do was just fucking walk up to a crowd that where I knew no one and had little in common. Listened in on what they were saying. Said, well, actually, I have an opinion on what you just said, Mr. Drug Dealer.
Oh,
and it'd be, mate, what are you fucking talking about? Who the fuck are you? Well, I think you'll find that this is called a common room, which means we are all free to be in here and interact. It's a room designed for social interaction.
Within these walls, we are all free men of the land, and our opinions are all equal, and we can express them as such. But that's it. How do you... That's the thing, though. When you start a sixth form and you don't know anyone there, how do you get to know people? I can't remember how it works. It happens, but how does it happen? Nah.
Well, I mainly knew people from school, because my school didn't have a sixth form. So, yeah. But I suppose like sometimes you'd meet people in lessons who seemed all right.
Yeah, but that was it.
How do you go?
Someone.
I was having a laugh with my daughter the other day because she talks about this, right? She talks about, you know, she's like saying to me after lockdown what I'd like to do. I said, well, you know, when you go back to school after all this time, what are you hoping to do? Do you see it differently? Blah, blah. And she said, I'd like to make some new different friends. Like, I've been there 3 years now. I've got a friendship.
Sick of this lot.
Well, I don't want to get into that. But she did say that she'd had the same group of mates. She went, I would like to meet different friends with different interests. Yeah, just basically she was saying, I'd like to widen my friendship group. And I said, that's a really nice idea. And she went, yeah, but the thing is, she went, how do you make new friends, right? And I said, well, you've got friends. You must have made them at some point. Do you remember? Yeah. She goes, no, I've no idea. So it's basically what you're saying. She goes, I've no idea. Yeah. So we started fucking around, and she's quite shy, my daughter, in social situations. She's not in the house, but in big groups, she's one of those people who's sort of quite shy. And she was like, yeah, I mean, what am I supposed to do? And I was winding her up saying, stand at the front window, right, because it's quite nice to make friends out of school. I said, and if you see any teenagers walking past, I said, just bang on the window and wave at them, smiling.
That's how we used to make friends when I was younger.
She knew I was taking the piss, and she went, to be fair to her, she went, you know what I'm going to do when I go back to school? I said, what? She went, I'm going to get a little bell, right, and I'm going to call it my friendship bell. And when I see other kids walking past who I want to make friends with, I'm going to ring my little friendship bell at them. And that's the signal that I'm open to making friends.
Open to friendship. Open to friendship.
Friendship bell. Ding-a-ling-a-ling. Ding-a-ling-a-ling. Would you like to be my friend?
You should be able to do
yes.
that, though.
Please say yes.
Yeah, you should be able to go to people and maybe just open your palms outwards towards them. As a gesture of openness, and just show them, and just as if you've got a little bird in your palm of your hand, and just show them, and then they know that you're open to friendship, and you know you don't have to listen to the fucking
bell. You
know,
with friendship, I actually feel for my daughter because I think people say like a very common thing is for men like us, men of our age, a thing that people say is, oh, you know, middle-aged men, they don't have many mates. It's always a joke. My kids are always going to me, you haven't got any friends, right? Right, they're always
I'm
giving me shit over
that. I'm
going
to stop you there, Sam.
And I'm like this.
I've got to stop you there. I can't hear a word you're saying. I think you've gone on a mute.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, you're back now.
Yeah. You cut out as well. Yeah.
All right.
I don't know where you cut out there, but, you know, people often say that middle-aged men are lonely. They don't have friends and they disappear into their own world and they don't really know. And it's really tough to make new friends. And I don't know about your kids. My kids are always winding me up about being friendless, right? They love that. They go, oh, you haven't got any mates, have you? And, you know, whatever, it's quite funny. But
no one's got any mates at the minute. We're all indoors all the time, fuck's sake.
No, yeah, but the truth is, I actually think that making friends is weird. Like, yeah, how do you do it? But I feel worse for my daughter, who is 13. Because if I look back, I think it's really hard to make friends when you're a teenager because there is a sort of an unspoken hierarchy or division of people in school or wherever, right? Are you in? Yeah. Are you out? Do you mix with that group or this group, right? And you're awkward as well because you're still very self-conscious about how you're perceived. But in many ways, the middle-aged man, you and I, we have long since stopped giving a fuck what anyone thinks of us.
Absolutely.
I mean, I've said before, I have no concern for... I think dignity is the most overrated thing in life. I have no dignity left and I don't care, right?
Yeah.
And so in many ways, I think it's actually easier to make friends in some ways for men like us because I will glass. Yeah, and I don't give a fuck. I'll go out to someone, start chatting to them. Next thing you know, if we're getting on all right, we're having a bit of a laugh, I'll be like, do you want to be mates then?
Yeah.
Right?
If not, I fuck them, move on. We want the next cut.
And they go, no thanks, that's a bit, I was getting on with you until you said that, now you just seem weird, all right, fuck it. I don't
blame
care.
You.
Yeah. I'm quite boring anyway. You're better off out of it, mate. But yeah, you don't care, like, we don't care about rejection.
No.
Do we? But when I was 13, I was terrified of rejection. Mm. So, in many ways, you said that as the outside of lockdown, the podcast move on, and you had this idea that we should start taking on challenges like learning Spanish, right?
Yeah.
Learning things. Let's, as a future project on this show, right? We don't have to start it now, but once lockdown's over and we're back to normality,
right?
Let's do a friendship challenge.
Fucking hell. I knew you were gonna
where
say
we
that.
Compete with each other to make a new friend, just one new friend.
One new friend. And is it got to be in real life and not on social media?
It's got to be in real life. We'll have certain criteria for what qualifies it. And the final thing is you have to get them recorded and play it out on a message admitting that you are that they are your friend.
This could take a number of months, if not years.
Yeah, it's a slow burn, but it's a recurring content, right? I mean, we could even do a weekly episode called The Friendship Race.
The thread of episodes, yeah.
Right. And it's a contest, and who can outlast? It's a race to make a new friend, and it's basically between me and you, who can make the friend quit first.
Do we make them quit?
No, make them first. I was going to say quickest. What I meant was who can commit to being our friend quickest.
I thought you said get them to commit and then get them to break up the friendship without them knowing. Will they know that it's part of a challenge or not?
I would say no.
All right, okay, fair enough. Yeah. Yeah, I could do that, probably.
So you have to secretly record them. On the day that you get them to go on record. It's like, you know, when you see undercover cops and you go, you have to have them on record saying,
yeah,
I will sell you the drugs, because if not, we won't be able to prosecute in court, right? It's the same thing with this. You need to secretly record your target, your mark. You'll identify a mark, right?
It's got to be called Mark.
No, he's a mark. Oh, then in your friendship grift, right? And you will, and I need them, or we both need, like, on record going, like, you'll be going, so we've been hanging around with each other quite a lot, haven't we? And they'll go, yeah, I suppose we have.
Yeah.
It's been quite good fun. We've had some good times. Yeah, we have, yeah. I enjoy your company. Do you enjoy mine? Yeah. If I ever needed a favour, like, say, a lift to the airport at short notice, would you be someone I could call and rely on for that? Yeah, of course, mate, of course. Great. So what I'm building up to here is, are we mates? Yes or no? Yes.
I think you need
Can you say the full sentence, though? Yes, we are mates.
No,
okay,
I think
yes, we are mates. Good.
There's a difference between mates and friend. Mates is a kind of, it's got a casualness about it. I think you've got to have them saying the word friend, because there's a lot more emotional weight to the word friend than there is
you're
mate.
Right. You make
so
a good point.
I think you've
got
to get
to say,
I am your friend.
You can get anyone to admit to being your mate, can't you?
Yeah, I think so. But yeah, we'll do that. I mean, I've got to admit, in the last episode of Athletical Parsnips, the subscription thing I do with Bob, one of the questions I asked him was, Bob, can I count on you as a friend? And he just, quick as a flash, he just said no. And I admire him for that. So,
well,
I
admire him, because you do have to set boundaries in your life.
Definitely,
you know,
he did that there and then.
I was only saying the other day that I over the years I've caused problems for myself by being too keen to sort of say to people, yeah, you can count on me. And that sounds like I'm trying to make myself out to be quite a giving, selfless person, right? Like a humble brag. But it's not. Do you know what it's driven by? Ego. My ego. Because I like the idea of being, I'm the kind of guy anyone can come to and I'll fix things from, you know, kind of like Mr. Wolf in Pulp Fiction, right? And so I'm always like, yeah, I can sort that out for you, mate. I can sort that out for you. And it's not fucking kindness. It's ego. And all it does, right, is create aggro and fucking headaches for me, because I'm trying to be fucking the man, right?
But that comes and back to the reply guys on Twitter. It's ego. Yeah.
It takes a stronger man, it takes a better man or woman to just say, like Bob did to you, no.
No.
Can't
count on me. No.
And not even give an explanation. That's the other thing, because I often, if I say no to someone, which I don't do enough, I then feel compelled or obliged to start offering up an explanation as to why I can't do that thing.
Yeah.
Instead of just having the balls to do what you just described, Bob, is just going, no.
Yeah. I mean, he did qualify. He said he doesn't like to leave his house very much. And if I had a problem that was outside of the environment of his house, he couldn't help. Simple as that. So therefore, I can't count on him.
You can't
ask for more than that, can you?
That's beautiful, yeah. And isn't it? In a weird way, I think that shows what a great friend he is.
Exactly.
He feels comfortable enough with you to be honest. Totally.
Mm. Yeah, totally. And that's what it's all about. This has been the Melchester Odyssey. We haven't touched on the Roy of the Rovers at all in this episode. No. And I'm quite proud of that.
Yeah, I think we've got through a lot of important data, though.
We have. We have. Mm. And we'll have another go at the Melchester next week. So thanks for listening, everyone.
Mate, just before we wrap out, though, just real quick. Did you pass your MOT?
Yeah, needed two new tyres, but that was it. And for a 13-year-old Skoda Octavia, I'm very happy.
Did you get new tyres or part worn?
They were budget tyres.
Mm, okay.
So that in itself is a story. You know what I mean?
We'll do tyres next week.
Who knows?
Tyres is a great subject.
We're now both roadworthy, yeah?
We're both roadworthy, thank God. And we should promote this podcast as being a podcast by owners of two roadworthy vehicles.
That's all we need to say.
Check with the DVLA. We're fucking bulletproof.
We're up to speed. So that's it. Thanks for listening, everyone. And be careful on the roads, won't you?
And remember to practice self-care. Have a bath.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.